DJMCloud.com. Start of summer. Today is June 20th, 2012, and you're listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown. Well, I am very glad that you could join us for this episode. This is Podcast Zero. I'm not actually starting the numbering over. Like one of those cars that when the meter used to only go up to 100,000 and then turn around. But that's some people's critique of the Mayan so-called calendar, so-called prophecy, whatever, the 2012 thing. Is that like that it's the equivalent of a 3-year calendar running out and, you know, it being the end of that 3 years and panicking about the end of the world coming, you know. It seems like an over repeated meme throughout history. The things that millennial movements whisper about the impending end of time. So we best exercise caution with prophecies like that. Unless important matters like podcasting. My podcast was originally over at the DJMblog.com site, and that's a posterous powered site. It's actually at blog.djmcloud.com, although you can access it by typing in DJMblog.com. But if you go there, there's a note on the left, and it notes that my podcast and blog are now at the DJMcloud site, you know, DJMcloud.com. And I want to just bring the first 10 podcasts into the archive on the current site. So in order to do that, I'm going to syndicate them in the feed. So you're going to see, if you watch the feed, numbers 1 through 10 come through. So this is Podcast Zero. And just instead of calling it number 36 or the one that comes after 35, we're just going to call it Podcast Zero, or the one that comes before 1 in the feed, although not chronologically. And, you know, I think that it'll be clear enough when people listen to the podcast that these podcasts are from a period starting in 2010, maybe getting a little into 2011, again, when the site was, when the podcast was on the previous site. You know, that Posterous, I like that service, but I want a little more flexibility with doing my podcasts, which I do in a very simple way, but I use my WordPress-powered site at djmcloud.com. It's actually, you know, hosted. When you go to that site, it takes you to djmcloud.danieljmckeown.com. And that site, I have a WordPress installation, and, you know, I just use FeedBurner to create the podcast. I tell it to find audio links and put them into a podcast. Actually, it does what you tell it to, and that became an issue recently when I was testing my own podcast in some of those podcatchers I was using. Downcast, the other apps like iCast, and I was trying, actually it's called iCatcher, the second one that I was mentioning, and those apps, you can find the DJMCloud podcast, you can just search in the search functions in those apps. I think it seems like it's the information that's available through the iTunes store and through the feed. So, you know, they find that info and they make it easy to subscribe, which is very cool. Here's the thing. If you have an enclosure to your podcast, and that's just the term for the file that's part of the file that's associated with a post. Now, a podcast is a blog post that's encoded in an RSS feed and has a payload of an MP3 file. It could be an H.264 video. It could be an Ogg Vorbis file. It could be a lot of stuff. But I, for a while, was just putting an AAC file and an MP3 file. And I was doing some extra podcast art with the AAC, which, because that supported better in GarageBand, they prefer that format. But then I went back to just doing MP3s, and then I wanted to get HTML5 friendly, and I wanted people on Firefox to be able to just play with the built-in player, that because I'm now putting an HTML5 player in every podcast blog post. So when you go to djmcloud.com and you see the show notes, you should be able to hit the button and play the podcast while you look at the show notes. And this is just a feature of the web now with HTML5 to be able to play an MP3 or an Ogg Vorbis. And what you can do is you can put both in there and just let the browser decide, and that works. So Firefox will play the Ogg Vorbis, and Safari will play the MP3. And you know, different browsers' behavior will vary, but I have the download the MP3 link on all the podcasts, but I want to make it possible to read the show notes and browse around and also play. So this works, except now in the podcatchers, they seem to not be able to handle the feed. iTunes seems to be able to handle it. Maybe it acts a little wonky, but I think in general, it'll just pick the MP3 and ignore the Ogg Vorbis. And that's just an alternative way to encode and compress your music file. It's preferred by a lot of musicians over MP3. You hear a lot of good buzz about AAC and Ogg Vorbis compared to MP3 in terms of the audio performance. But that's a very controversial and, you know, complex subject. But I wanted to support different browsers, so I was putting Vorbis in. But now that I see that what was happening, the podcast wasn't playing in these podcatchers. Until I can figure out how to make it so that it'll work both in Firefox and browsers like that and in the podcatchers, I've stopped putting the Ogg Vorbis files in the posts. And I want to get back to supporting multiple formats, but for now, I think MP3 is the most widely supported audio format, and that's the one that I'm going to use. Now, I took a video of Sarah Palin back in the 2008 race. She actually came to Lakewood, Ohio, the town that I live in, and so I got a video of her. Now, she has this daughter, and she's out there.
I need to be hurt so bad, you know.
She has a show.
Oh my god, I'm gonna puke. We're at this restaurant called the Sal Ranch. This guy screams out. He's like, your mom's a whore. Your mom's a f***ing whore. And he's screaming that in front of so many people. And then
she's like, so I go talk to him
because she only hates her because she doesn't believe in gay marriage. And he's just like, bring it on. Bring it on. And I have a ton of cameras on me and a ton of paparazzi. And I just cannot believe this is happening right now.
Somebody's calling her out at her mom and her stupid politics.
Why are people like this? Seriously, Jano. I want to go home right now.
But the way that we hated, the way that I hated the 50s, kids now seem to hate the 80s. Like, we're over it, stop it, it wasn't that cool. And if you were a kid of the 80s, you're like, fuck yeah, it was cool, it was amazing, man. And, it was because, I liked it. But I mean,
that was Kevin Smith talking very verbally about the 80s, and the other guy on the Smodcast show maybe being, I think, more in line with what I think of the 80s. I think what Scott Mosier was saying by kind of grunting, I think expressed how a lot of us feel about the 80s. Of course, then again, I think those guys are a few years older, 5-10 years older than me, so I think maybe they have an experience of being, you know, more like growing up at a different point in the 80s, whereas I was a little kid in the 80s. And, you know, the 80s were the time of Reagan, and I think in a lot of ways the country started losing a lot of its traditional moorings in that time, because the government started borrowing massively with debt, and not for good social reasons, but in order to build up the military. And then, you know, we've had this military that's gotten so big that we had to use it on things. And it, you know, it's really amazing how many people are okay with violence. And I really think that one of the enduring dangers to the Republic is the obsession with violence that seems to be encouraged by Hollywood.
In rooms with, like, influential people to problem solve about the biggest kind of crisis is facing humanity right now. Sounds really doable in scope.
Yeah. Global warming.
Yeah. It's like overpopulation.
Overpopulation. You know, I think that there's a myth that the world's overpopulated. And I think, first of all, by what criteria is a good question. And second of all, like, if food production increases faster than population, then how is the Earth not still scaling to humans? And, of course, there's not enough oil. But there's not enough oil for, like, hardly anybody. And that's really no excuse. There's carbon in the atmosphere. But does that mean that all carbon-based life forms need to be need to be wiped out? Like, I think that people are definitely buying into some very dangerous ideas. I think some people just want to see a lot of people die and will come up with any kind of rationalization they can. The clip that I was playing was from the Opinionated podcast. A toxic mix of facts and nonsense, laying the groundwork for a controllable contrarianism whenever decency compels people to question the brutal practices and conventions of an intentionally violent government. Daring people to be afraid that some kind of profound danger awaits those who believe in their own feelings and in reason. The self-identified, quote, smart person, unquote, has no way of knowing how full of distortions and misimplications of existing misconceptions junk news like NPR and The New Yorker are filled with. The vocabulary of boring tells them that there must be substance in all of this. The question, really, for a lot of people is, are you just going to continue acting on the media orders? Or are you going to start thinking for yourself and try to act independently with your own mind and your own judgment? Thank you. I took a handful of photos when I was in Europe. I was in Europe in 1999 and 2001. And I was there in July of both those years. What I did was I went to London for a study abroad program. And then I was in Paris. And I traveled around some different cities. And I just took a disposable 35mm film cameras. And recently I was going through the prints and I took some shots of the prints. I should develop the negatives digitally and archive them. And I'm looking into options about doing that. But I snapped some of the prints just to, you know, share them online, quickly. And I have a few different photos. Now, from 2001, when I was in Paris, I took a picture of the Arc de Triomphe that I like. That's in a traffic circle. You have to find a strategic place. You have to decide what angle you want to take. And, of course, I think the angle right under an archway would be right on the Champs-Élysées. So you have to pick your spots for taking the photo. I think that one was pretty good. Now, there's also a picture of the Sacré-Cœur Basilica in Montmartre in Paris, in the northern area of the city, and it's up on the hill of Montmartre, and it's a very interesting building, but my photo, I think, I don't know if the angle is ideal, and, you know, it may not be a perfect photo, but it's such an interesting photographic target that I think that the photo is still interesting to look at. I also took a picture of Grand Arche de la France, which is out in the northwest of the city in this office area. But I remember reading that it lines up with the Arc de Triomphe and points toward, I think the Rue Rivoli and the Louvre or that area, and in line with Arc de Triomphe. It's a cool kind of rectangular building. It's, well, three-sided, but with right angles. And it is a building I think it has offices in it. And there's a lot of office buildings around there in the La Défense area. And then in my 1999 trip, I took a picture of Tower Bridge that I think is pretty cool. Some people, haven't been to London, I've heard of London Bridge, but that's a very basic bridge that's another span over the Thames. The Tower Bridge is the really remarkable one with the large building it's right near the Tower of London. And I think I did take that from the northern side of the river. You can kind of see a park in the foreground a little bit. And then another photo that I took, it was a picture of Stonehenge. I went there in 1999, and that is a very cool place. I don't think I'd ever seen any megalithic structures before. It's remarkable. And, you know, Stonehenge, I think they may have actually been on location. That's the setting for the beginning of the Laurence Olivier King Lear. WordPress themes, one thing I've looked to is the work of Ian Stewart. He started out as an independent theme developer, and now he actually works for Automattic. At least he did last time I looked. And he is, basically, he works on their the part of their company that handles themes for their sites. So they have WordPress.com where they offer themes, and they get, you know, he works on those. But he, you know, they open source some of the work they do, and he did previously too. So he had the thematic theme, and he had a good tutorial. So I would look at that when I was making themes. If you look at my Grand Fork theme, there's a actually like a credit because, you know, it's definitely worth noting if people were really helpful with you helping figure out the way that you want to structure the code in a theme. Now, there's a new release from the Automattic theme team. It's the underscores theme, or underscore S. I don't know. And this theme, instead of being the type of theme that they designed as an effective parent theme, what this theme attempts to do is offer a basis for creating a new theme. So, unlike their toolbox theme, I don't think they expect you to make a child theme of the underscores theme, but they actually expect you to make a theme that's derived from that. And so you can find show notes and more information at djmcloud.com. Just look for Podcast Zero. And then you can also get in touch with the podcast, djmcloud at sf3am.com. And check out pacificpelican.us. And don't forget to check out my Pacific Pelican Twitter account and DGM Cloud on SoundCloud. I was going to mention Ridge Racer for PSP, but I didn't really get around to it. It's a pretty good game, though. It's actually for PS Vita.